mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
As we get ready for the responsive reading, be sweet, I know.
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise, and stormy winds may blow. But I'll tell the world wherever I go that I've found the Savior, and He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may rise, and stormy winds may blow. But I'll tell the world, wherever I go, that I found the Savior, and He's sweet, I know.
Good to see all these smiling faces here this morning. It's just like a renewing of life to come and see everybody here, my family. It's good to see everybody here. This morning we're going to read from Isaiah. It's kind of a, I've been studying a lot, and it's going to read Isaiah 28. Let's see, 8 through 21. And this morning, before we go to the reading of the Word, let's just thank the author, Father. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we ask You, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, and thank You for Your grace and mercy coming unto us. And Father, thank You most of all for the Word that we hear, Lord, here, and for the Word that's coming forth, Father. And we just ask, Lord, that You just anoint our ears today and just quicken the Word that we hear, Father, that we may manifest that You have set for us, Father. And Lord God, we ask today that You just touch and bless all of those that couldn't be here today, that couldn't make it through the door. Brother Mark and Brother Al and Sister Hannah and the struggles that they go through, Lord, out in life with the health problems and issues, Lord. But You strengthen their soul, Lord, and that'll take care of all of that. And we just ask You to touch and bless each one that's not here today. And bless Brother Wade in the ministry today, Brother Dutch Scott's, and ask You this morning to touch and bless Papa Zeke is preparing to bring the Word to us, Father God, that we can be attentive and hear the Word. And Lord, You just bless us as he comes on the scene. And bless Brother Bob this afternoon, Father. And Father, just touch and bless him for the word he'll bring today. And we just ask, Lord, you just come down and be with us now and join the service and bless it, Lord God. We ask these things and bless the opening and the reading of your word. We ask it in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read, it's kind of a odd scripture to me. It's not really odd, but it's God's word. But we always want to read about the good things, all about the grace and the mercy and all the patting on the head and stuff. But listen. His word is solid. It's all we have. It's the truth. And for everything that goes out, there's got to be something that comes back. And for that don't come back, wasn't meant to be to start up with. So there's judgment in this word. We don't want to be here for the judgment, folks. So as we read, 28:8, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Amen. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. To whom he said, this is rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place.
And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it.
From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to the man.
For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow that he can wrap himself in it. For the word of the Lord, he shall be worth in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Thank you for the opening of the word, reading of the word. You may be seated.
Turn to number 187 in the spiral book. Try F.
That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, not rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love
a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that Christ should join so freely in the scheme. Although it meant his death on Calvary, did ever human tongue find nobler theme than love divine that ransomed me? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that for a willful outcast such as I, the Father planned, the Savior bled and died, redemption for a worthless slave to buy, who long had law and grace defied. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. And now he takes me to his heart, a son. He asks me not to fill a servant's place. The far off country wanderings all are done. Wide open are his arms of grace. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn the order of service over to our brother now. Let's open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, 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 you are holy, holy. Yes, you're holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading from Romans 11. And then we'll go to Ephesians 4. Sister Monica, they've made an announcement of Sister Monica and Brother Boyd's Sunday school classes are to meet in the sanctuary here at 12:40 to practice some songs. So you got that? Sister Monica and Brother Boyd's Sunday school classes to meet at 12:40 today to practice some songs. Amen. Wade is over at Brother Dutch's speaking this morning, so be much in prayer for him. The Lord willing, Brother Bob be ministering this afternoon. We're getting all this straight and get it to running where we're due. Wade will be back ministering Wednesday, so that'll get us started back into rotation. And now, you went through the Sunday school class today for the young people. All right, next Sunday now, we're going to start the entire church back on the Sunday school class and get everything to running correctly. So it's going to take a little working to do it because we're going to have to cut short here, pull it in, try to get everything in order, and then we'll be able to have the Sunday school. Wade Sunday school class now will be up here. The adult Sunday school class will be up here, not downstairs. Brother Board will be in that room because we don't have the room. That's our problem. We don't have enough room to be able to put classes and do this, that, and the other. So we're going to try to do that and bring up Wade's class. He'll be doing Sunday school from, say, like 10 o'clock to 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever he runs out. And then the minister will come in the afternoon. We're not cutting no services. We're just moving it about. Okay, but it'll be, the Sunday school class, Wade Sunday school class, the adults will be up here next Sunday, the Lord willing, getting everything started, and we will have to work with that. We won't cut nothing out, but we may have to say, okay, cut this a little short, and give us just a little bit. We know we'll start for sure at 9:45 with playing the tape and things. We won't take out nothing. We'll be close and do it. In doing it, we'll get everything in order and make it all work out, okay? To you mothers, we say Happy Mother's Day. Thank God for all of the mothers. Amen. Good to see Sister Cleta back there. Now, if you're getting to running, I don't know where you got a walking stick or not, but now if you start running today, get your walking stick and keep that a-going, but good to see you back. Good to have you back with us. I'm glad for God to work things out and get everything in order, okay? Let's see. Wade's class, get that out of the way. What we'll be doing is just moving things about in different ways. Wade will be preaching, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. So then we'll get all these other things as we go on into the message, okay? All right. Father, we thank you for everything, and we ask you to just be with us today in the service and let your loving grace, Lord, be the one that would take control of each and every one of us and bless us together in your love. Let your light shine in our hearts that we may see you. Forgive our sins. Thank you for all things, Lord, that you've been able to give for us. Thank you for Sister Cleta there coming back and bringing her, bringing Sister Tootsie there last week, and we're getting these back in that was out and missing the services and things. And so we're just so proud of the fact that you are among us, healing us, delivering us, and taking care of all things. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins and just have your way. Remember, Wade and June and him will be doing that, and then he'll be going on up traveling a little, so just bless them and give them a safe journey back. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been on this for quite a while, and I'm going to try to finish it today, and then we'll just say, okay, if you have questions, we want to try to get that next Sunday, okay? Questions and answers next Sunday for what I've been speaking on, if you will, and get that all in order and do it, okay? Now, we've picked up this point or thought and been considering it for us. And it says verse 29 of the 11th chapter. For the gifts, the many gifts now. Okay. And calling of God are without repentance. All right. Now the gifts and one calling, but many gifts. In the body of Christ, there's many gifts. But there's just one calling. Make your calling and election sure, you know, if you do it. Also, we're working on getting the things fixed up. We're going to have some two boards back here where you can be able to see the scriptures and things as they shoot up instead of just having this one screen, because it blocks off with some people and things like that where you're having to sit. But we're going to try to get that done, but they're working on getting it in order, okay? Now let's go to Ephesians 4. We'll start with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now God led captivity captive. That's right. But he also gave gifts to man. All right. Now watch those gifts. Okay. Now he ascended. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave. Now, what are the gifts that he gave? We'll get into it. We've been running through it. There's 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 that lists the 9 spiritual gifts that's in the church. But then here's something special. And he gave some, what? Gifts, no. Gifts. Well, that's what he's talking about, right? Because that's what he said. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What did he give? And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For how long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? What's all this to do? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Terrence said there was some visitors. So if it's somebody, you come here one time, you're a visitor, you're counted a visitor, but you come back, you're not counted a visitor, you're just part of us. So that all works in that order. Okay. Now we've been for quite a while trying to cover, and I want to read some things, and then, like I said, we'll try next Sunday, if Lord willing, if you'll do it, if you'll just write out your questions. And you say, well, I can't write questions. Well, just write down, what in the world are you talking about? Well, that's no problem. What are you talking about? What are you doing? What are you saying? You know, there's no problems with it. We'll try our best to be able to cover these things. And doing this is message number 3, picked off of what we've been talking about on predestination. We may go back and hang another message or so in there later, because I believe in predestination. I believe you're predestinated by foreknowledge. God is not, you know, picking and choosing. He predestinates by his foreknowledge. But remember now, there are some things that goes in there that we must understand, because all of this is transpiring in the mind of God before the world ever begun. All right? So then we'll get our predestination back in line. But what I want you to think on today is the one thing we've been driving hard, and I don't want you to miss this, because we're going to be talking about the church and its operational parts and seeing it. And then getting into the, what he said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. He gives you what you have need of. All right. Now, is that understandable? He gives you what you have need of. All right. Some people, they had to have a, they, you know, I'm going to say this and lay it out in the right order now, but then I'm going to come back and just, because, see, every church has to have a pastor. All right. Every church, you know, has to have a pastor. Every individual must have a pastor. I've had ministers to even make remarks, you know, of, I ain't going to pay tithe to no minister. Well, all right. Go ahead. You're not in the body of Christ. Now, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about what the Word says. So it's not what I've got to say. It's what God says in His Word. All right? See, everybody must have a pastor. You know what Brother Branham even said? Who was it? The woman there in the Bible said Elijah was her pastor, whether she believed it or not. All right? Well, see, she didn't want no pastor. Well, that's the way a lot of people are. But now you tell me how you're going to be able to follow the Word of God. Well, I don't like nobody. I can't find nobody. Well, I agree with you to a degree. Yeah, I agree with you to a certain degree. And there's a lot of these churches I wouldn't go to. There's a lot of them I would not sit down and that call that my pastor, because they're off the Word. But that's where that he said he gave some. Now he gives us what we have need of. Now the prophet said it's God would take, if somebody's got a question, you got a question about, he said God is obligated to put somebody on the pulpit to answer that question. All right? And there's your fivefold ministry. Okay? And see, we're going to get to that in a minute and lay things out. But I want you to understand what I'm saying, me, that I'm saying, whether you believe it or not, that's your business. But see, everybody has to have a pastor, because how would you work without one?
Right.
Well, I don't like, well, then go hunt till you find one. God's got one out there somewhere for you if you want it. Now, we're not talking about flim-flams. We're not talking about just any kind of garbage cans. We're talking about a true fivefold ministry that God gave. Now, let me ask you this, because I've got the quote that runs right straight to it. Do you believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the gift of God of eternal life? That's what the Bible says now. It's the gift of eternal life. What is the gift of God? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. All right? So then we're not talking about just this, that, or the other. It's not your idea. It's not my idea. It's not doing, and it won't give me no more money for me to say it hard and straight than it will if I say it weak enough. So I'm going to say it the way I have to say it, because that's the way I've always had to be. As far as anything else, we ain't worried about it. But see, I'm telling you, this church must have a pastor. If you don't believe this, if you do not believe that I am the pastor of the church, well, then go somewhere else. That's not a problem. That's just a flat, blunt statement of what it ought to be. Find your place. Because he gave some apostles. He gave you what you have need of. It's out there somewhere for you. But see, you must have a pastor.
Yeah.
All right? You say, well, Brother Dale, how does pastor pay tithe? I've been through all of these things up and down over all the years, so I don't worry about it. I pay tithe. I have to pay tithe because that's part of my duty. Well, who do you pay tithe to? I've had preachers to say that. You pay it to yourself? Now, boy, that'd be the right hand and putting the money in the left pocket and moving it over and getting it back. And well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? These minister brothers that minister here, they get paid to minister. That way I can pay my tithe. We have something comes up overseas or something. that has a needful thing. I can take then from my part that I have put aside, and I can send that. And we send a lot of money out. And you say, well, is that tithe? Well, why not? Because it's something we set aside. In the Bible, they had the high priest was in charge of everything. You got to admit that, or you're going to argue yourself to death about it. You know? The high priest, he's in charge. All right. So then he would divvy out of what it needed. He would take care of everything. Now somebody else is helping him. He's not the only one got the money in the bundle and going. No. There's offices set up and things like that. But yet he's in charge. Okay. See, then when you come over into the New Testament, then you see that the pastor is in charge. Right? He's in charge. Because he's the one to be doing it. You say, well, Brother Dale, I don't have a pastor. I've got a prophet. Well, how are you going to do that? Now, what a man is and what he's doing is a different thing. What gifts are is gifts and all like that. Sure, we have. But what are you going to do? See, if you don't pay tithe, you're not a born-again believer. Right. That's what I said. I'll just make it straight and blunt. Amen. And then at least you won't misunderstand me. You know, because I'm putting it that blunt to where, see, that we say, well, we're this, we're that. No, we prove what we are. If you don't pay tithe, you're not a born-again believer. Well, I pay on this over. I ain't going to argue with you about this, that, or the other, but I'm going to tell you this away. And put it blunt and plain. $1 received means 10% tithe. It don't say in the Bible if you get it for this or get it for that. There is two things in the Bible you can't tithe on. You can't tithe on the price of a whore. Right? Can't be done. The Bible says it. You can't tithe on the price of a dog. Well, Brother Dale, I raise dogs and sell them. You don't want? No, I don't want to tithe off you raising dogs and selling them because the Bible says. I want what the Bible says. We'll take care of the rest of it on our own. You say, yeah, but what? Well, that's what the Bible says now. Huh? See, then that would get us to the basis of having understanding if we'd believe it and settle down to it and just be that and let it go. And, you know. But setting things in order, you know, getting it to the basis, see, then every church must have a pastor. All right, now listen. It's going to get down to try to hard things to try to understand. It doesn't say that every church has to have a teacher. It doesn't say that it has to have an apostle or prophet, an evangelist. But every church has to have a pastor. Because that's the rules of setting down. You say, well, my pastor is Brother so-and-so and he's a teacher. Well, what are you doing here? Well, he's up in New York. Is it all right for me to send my money to New York to Brother so-and-so? It ain't all right in the Bible, but it's all right for me to do what you want to with it. You can burn it because it ain't going to change me. All right? Is that blunt enough? It's not going to change me in anything that I do or don't do. See? Paying tithe is an opportunity. It is a necessary thing to do, but it is also a wonderful opportunity. Because if you pay your tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven. Now come on, you think what you want to, but just remember, you get a dollar, one dime of that goes. Well, Brother Dale, I'm going to do it this way, that way now. You're going to argue with God in the Bible about it. All right? You say, well, I don't have to pay tithe on this or pay tithe on that. The only two things in the Bible you don't have to pay tithe on is the price of a whore or a dog. Now, everything else does that. Well, if I sell my home, you sell your home and you get an increase. You tithe the increase. You don't have to tithe the whole thing. You tithe the increase. We're sensible. We know what we're doing. We know what it all lays out to be. You get things from people. They give you an inheritance. Well, I got an inheritance off the family. Well, you're supposed to pay tithe. Come on, church. Boy, said that time, you know, that told his daddy that Brother Dale never did preach on tithing. And the first thing, the time that his daddy came to church, I preached on tithing. But you see, I wind up preaching on tithing of your time, your talent, your life, your praying, your worshiping, your singing, your doing. Money is just a little monetary thing to start with. But if we don't keep stuff like that straight, how can we call ourselves Christians? Huh? See, we're Baptist. We were in the Baptist church. We paid tithe. You say, well, do I pay tithe on this or tithe? I ain't going to argue with you about what you're talking about. And that's exactly what you're wanting to do. You're not wanting to say what's right. You're not wanting to agree with the word that it says pay the tithe. You're wanting to argue over how to do it. Well, do it what you want to. It's between you and God. Sensible? Between you and God. Not between me and you and God. I ain't in on the show. I've always said it, and you know this is the truth. I just assume buy a dinner for a millionaire is to buy a dinner for a pauper. You say, well, no, that dinner for the... I'm saying that's just the way I am. Because, you see, I don't honor one thing over the other. All men are the same with me. It doesn't matter. You can't have... Let's put it this way and start with the point. You can't have a fivefold ministry without lining up starting with the pastor first. Now, wait a minute. The number so-and-so over in Corinthians is in so-and-so. This number goes in this way, and then apostles, and then prophets, and then back. Well, it's fivefold ministry, irregardless. So the tithe goes to the pastor. That solves the problem. Now, what he does with it is his problem. It's not your problem. It's his problem what he does with it. If he don't handle that right, then he's in trouble with God. All right? But you say, well, then I'll just pay my tithe to the... We have a teacher in our church. I'll just pay my tithe to the teacher. That ain't according to the Bible. There's only one man according to the Bible that can tell you his tithe, and that's Jesus Christ. You pay your tithe to Jesus Christ. Yeah, but how do I pay my tithe to Jesus Christ when Jesus ain't here? You pay it to the next thing to you. Now you tell me, and I'm not saying nothing other than this plain language, but you tell me that Brother Branham could make $100 a week and spend $1,500 a day out on the field. Somebody was giving money because he was the pastor. Now, that's the way I count him. I count, brother, you want to know who is my pastor? Who is all of our pastor? The Elijah of this day, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all of our pastor. Then you come down to, as we tried to cover in a sermon or two there, then you come down to Brother Branham. Well, I send my money to Jeffersonville. You can't pay tithe to a tape recorder.
That's right.
Quit saying you're going to send it to Jeffersonville. Say you're going to send it to somebody at Jeffersonville. Because you can't pay tithe to a tape recorder. If you're going to do anything, at least get your statement right. I mean, so, well, I just send mine to Jeffersonville. They do what to, oh, well, you do what you want to with it then. But how is that your pastor? You got to go through the local assembly.
Right.
To have a pastor. See? So then what do we got? We got a mixed up mess is what really we've got, because you ain't going to get it running right. The reason I don't preach on tithing and things is because it ain't going to change nothing. What I say today, it ain't going to change. It's going to make you call each other this afternoon and want to know about this or that or the other or this week. Well, I think this. I think you think what you want to. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. We've got one pastor. We had one pastor in William Branham. His message is now our pastor. Because it's through the Holy Spirit revealing the word that was brought by the pastor. And if you catch me off of the pastor, off of the prophet's message, you come and tell me. We'll sit down and discuss this thing. You say, well, I don't like the way you operate the church. Well, it ain't none of your business. Is that blunt enough? Go somewhere else. Ain't none of your business what we do here. Because you're not in charge. I'm in charge to line up everything I can by the message of the hour. Right? Then the fivefold ministry has to line up with the message of the hour. See, then everything has to be lined up according to the Word of God. Which the message of the hour is the Word of God, right? That's why your high priest was the only one that was capable of receiving. Now, they didn't get what I'm saying. Don't go to all playground with me. Get sensible. When they brought in the money, they didn't pile it all up in the high priest that turn. No, there was people at helps and governments and things that went with it. There were people that helped him and took care of it. He probably never seen 90% of the money or even 100% of it maybe. You know, as the high priest, he had people to help him. That's why the Bible talks in Corinthians. It gives you a lineup coming down and it says, and helps and governments and things. Because that's what we all have. Helps and governments. Alright? You see what I'm talking about? See, when you do, you try to explain something and people, well, you're just trying to do this. I have seen the year come and pass that I gave away more money than most of you made. And you know that is true. And there's no argument. Huh? Because I do what I want to do in the glory of God. Huh? See, then I do everything I can to give it all. I know. But you, but Brother Dale, you think I should do this? You think I should tie this? $1 game, 10 cent tie. I can even go stronger. Brother asked me one day, he said, should I tithe the money that I received it when my wife died? Anybody got a question, answer to it? You know what I'm talking about. He had insurance. You say, well, you tell me why not? I ain't going to argue about what to do. I'm going to tell you why not. Yeah, but that's getting it. See, that's what I mean. You're not going to listen. We've sat and had meetings about this before. I'm just playing. See, I'm trying to show you one thing. If we'll do it correctly, God is in charge. But he's in charge through a line of a chain that goes through that you've got a fivefold ministry. But you start every church with a pastor. You don't start that church with the teachers and things like that. They're in the body of Christ. They're in complete control of the pastor. Come on, you explain it. I'll give you the pulpit. But you tell me in the Bible now, let's keep it in there. He says, should I pay tithe on this? $1 gain, one dime tithe. Yeah, but you're getting just too touchy about this, especially when you're talking about, say, something that I received where an increase, you know, of an insurance policy or something. I'm just being plain. You tell me. We'll be glad to give you the pulpit and say, this is what Sister So-and-so says. You know. But you know yourself, I wouldn't even get up and answer it with that. But I'll give it to you. Because I ain't trying to get rich off of the tithe. You know how this church operates. Well, a lot of you don't because you claim you don't, but you know more about it than I do because you're nosy. That one was rough. That was too hard, I guess. But you see, I'm responsible not only for your soul. I'm responsible for God, to God about your natural life. Did Brother Branham make these statements? He said the pastor is the burden barrier. Well, he gave some. Well, how did he give them? He gave a fivefold ministry. How did he give them? We can follow the tithe payer because we can take it to the pastor, right? And we can say, well, if we deal with this with the pastor. Yeah. Well, what about the other four ministries? What about the other four? Apostles, prophets, pastors, you know, teachers, evangelists. See, they're responsible to God to find out what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be. And they're supposed to get in that part of their job and do their job. Right? I mean, you got four more ministers there. What are you going to do? Well, don't you think that the apostle can and the teachers and can receive tithe? If they're pastor of a church, they can. That didn't come out right, did it? Show me how anybody other than the pastor can receive tithe. You say, well, but you're just making it just out of making it plain. Always open for confrontations. Because I ain't going to argue with you about it. If this church had millions of dollars in the bank, it wouldn't change a thing to me. I'd still preach the same thing, or if it had $2 in the bank, I'd preach the same thing. Right. But you see, I'm trying to get us to think about why does he say he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and teachers? All right. He gave a fivefold ministry. All right. Now, did you understand what we were trying to bring out last week? Or just handpicked a few out of the notes for the past couple of services, three or four, for you to think on. And I want to just read them to where that we can see, you know, what is it? Go ahead to pick up number one. Let's just read these things and see what Brother Branham said. It's odd the things that he says. He covers the 9 spiritual gifts in the local assembly. But they don't come predestinated eternally, because gifts in that 5, in the 9 spiritual gifts, can operate one time and never operate again. But we're going to get down to something that's going to stir you higher a little. Your spoon, what is it? You say, Aaron, it's going to fall out of your bowl. Because we're going to read what the prophet says. And then let's see if we believe it. All right. Now look what he says from Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever in Macon. Now before you could do it, now God does that, then he sends people into the church such as preachers, teachers, evangelists, gifts of healing. Don't mean the man now can heal you. It means that he has faith in what he's talking about and proves it by the Bible. All right. After that, there's prophets, that's seers. All those gifts are without repentance. God sent to that. Office gifts are sent by God. Now keep that in mind, because that's what we're dealing with. A fivefold ministry, where either one of the five, it's an office. Sent of God. All right. Look how it gets. God sends that. Offices, gifts are sent by God, foreordained of God. And they're sent into the church. They're born in you. Them traits are born in you when you come to this world. You just find your position. Now, that's what I spent 3 sermons trying to get you to see. That we're trying to find our place, find our doings, and what, you know, find your position, find what you're supposed to be, get what your part is doing, do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, right. All right? And all those things are in the kingdom of God, and all of it's for the reflecting of the church to bring us together. Now listen. Office gifts. See, the President of the United States is in an office. Right? He's got to abide by his office. It's a position set up for something. Whatever you're doing, and like I said, President of the United States, Sheriff of the County, or whatever it is, whatever you want to would be setting up, it's an office. It's a gift. The Holy Ghost is the office, but it operates the gifts. Right. Remember, the Holy Ghost is going to be the officer of all of it. Right. Huh? But it's without repentance. You don't repent to get a gift. Right. You're either born with it or not born with it. Right. Right. And everybody is born in one way or the other with a gift. Right. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're born again to have gifts. You're born with gifts. But there's gifts in the body of Christ that not necessarily are less important, because the Bible plainly tells you, you know, you say, well, this ain't important. The Bible plainly tells you the lesser one is the most important of all. So we ought to get that straight, and that way it won't blow our head up so big. The least you can be is the best you can do, because that's what it's supposed to be. But gifts. Gifts in the Bible are offices. He gave us the new birth. That is the office of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he knew we would need leadership and helps and things. So he gave us that new birth and putting that new birth together, and it'll come out to be a church. And then everybody should find their position of what they are. You'll find your position. Was that what he said in there? But listen, go ahead and get to the next one. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Go ahead to number two. When Jesus came on the scene, the Bible said that he was to be a prophet. Moses said, the Lord your God shall rise up a prophet like unto me. And Israel always believed that they're prophets because that was God. Brother Branham was God to the people, not Brother Branham. We'll get to that in a minute. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. Right? It's not the person. Brother Branham didn't come predestinated eternally from God. You say, well, I've heard you make things. No, I didn't make that he was predestinated eternally because it's not. The fivefold ministry is predestinated to bring the message as well as the prophet is predestinated. That's one thing we don't dwell on a lot. But I try to put it in the right place. Irregardless of what ministry you've got, it still has to answer to the prophet. And then that has to answer to God. So everything is answering to him. So I want... always believe they're prophets because that was God identifying himself in human beings. See, he would go in that human being and speak to his people. I believe that about it. Brother Brown said it's hard to separate the man from the ministry. Right? And he said that way you'll make too much of the man. Because it is not the person that comes predestinated eternal. But what did he say in the church? It's the word or seed. And there was a predestinated seed for every age. A predestinated word for every age. A predestinated group of people for every age. A predestinated fivefold ministry for every age. It's predestinated. God sent it. Nine spiritual gifts, we'll read in a minute. They come and go. But the fivefold ministry is not so. The fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally. Now listen, not the man, the seed he's bringing, the word he's bringing. Or let me say it this way. Can I add something without you blowing your head off about it? Why not write a little word in there where he says the predestinated word or seed? Why not put a little word there called an office? See, the office is operational part of the Holy Ghost into your heart and life. It is not you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? But now how can you separate the Christ that's in you from the Christ? You can't. They don't even try it. Leave it alone. But you see, regular gifts can operate in the body of Christ. And they're wonderful. They are ordained of God. They're there for a purpose. But it is not the word or seed left up to them to bring. The messenger to each church age brought the message. The fivefold ministry was to line up with everything he said. Now, everything he said that was right. Let's be technical. We don't line up to something that old so-and-so over here preached that we don't believe in it. No, forget it. Just cast that out. But let's get into it in the way it's supposed to be. Himself in the Bible always, that's the way he identified himself, was in his prophets. They were just ordinary man. Of course, they were born for that purpose. Now what? As we know, there is local gifts of the nine gifts in the church. That's 1 Corinthians 12, lists the 12 of them, the nine of them. All right. Now watch. There is local gifts of nine gifts in the church, but there is offices of the church. And that God that's predestinated or foreordained. God has set in the church apostles, then prophets, then teachers, pastors, evangelists, and so forth. That's God's gifts set into the church. Then there is nine spiritual gifts that operate in the local body of the believers. And they must be checked. What? You don't check the fivefold ministry. You don't check the prophet of the age. You mean I don't, you show me what you've got a right to check me with. Come, let's do it with this. Do you want to talk to me about checking to see whether what I'm saying is right or not? You ought to have it in you enough to know that I read it. I don't just guess it and play with it. I read it. So if I read it to you, it's what he said at least. Right? Because now look. Nine spiritual gifts that operate in the local body and of believers, and they must be checked by two or three judges before they're to be given to the church. Because sometimes they would be wrong. But notice these prophets, okay, going back to the Old Testament prophets, going back to the Brother Branham being a prophet, going back to the church age messenger being a special person, whether it be Paul, Irenaeus, Mark, Columbo, special person for the word of the age that they're bringing. Not like Brother Branham, no. Even Agabus. Agabus, Brother Branham speaks high of Agabus. But Agabus was nowhere close to Paul.
Right?
But Paul was nowhere close to the Elijah of this last days. That's the way I believe it. Paul was wonderful and great and a messenger to the whole New Testament is laid upon the Apostle Paul, let alone the church at Ephesus. But yet he couldn't bring the seals. He couldn't bring the things that needed to be brought. It had to come through the Malachi 4. So we got it laid in right order. Okay. Notice these prophets as they were born, like in, I believe in Jeremiah here, God said, before you was even conceived in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet over the nations. Now listen, you say, but that is predestinating. You're playing with the word predestinating. You're not listening. Let's read it again. Before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. That's back before the foundation of the world, wasn't it? See, you're going to see one of these days what I'm trying to tell you. And it's going to open this church up, empty it, or going to bring together what we're supposed to have. I'm a firm believer in the fivefold ministry. I'm a firm believer in that, but I'm a firm believer in all the local assembly operating as a local assembly. I'm a firm believer in the nine spiritual gifts that's supposed to be in the assembly. Nine spiritual gifts operating. Brother Ram even calls and uses it for the perfecting of the saints. They're there. They're wonderful. But if you look at what I'm talking about, then you move up from that. That part has to be judged, is what he said. That has to be judged. It has to be done. But the fivefold ministry is not judged. What are you going to judge us with? Hey, come on now. Come on, Brother Dale. You know smarter than you think. Or dumber one. You know Brother Dale's saying one thing for certain. It ain't me and you that God gave to the church. Sorry. He didn't give me. He gave a gift. He didn't give any of you fivefold ministry. He gave the gift. He gave the office. He gave you to the church. Right. But it's not you, it's the office you're in. He honors his office. Come on. You see, Moses was born a prophet, and John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Isaiah the prophet, speaking to him. See, it's not, these gifts are born gifts, God placing them in the church. What gifts? He gives the nine spiritual gifts. But the nine spiritual gifts are, I don't like to use the word unimportant, because it's not that. It's just, it's a point of what one section does and compared to what another, you know, group does. And the best way to compare it is the way the prophet compared it. And when he said that the nine spiritual gifts has to be judged. Right. But show me where he said the fivefold ministry had to be judged. Now, we're not talking about the man. That's what I was saying a while ago. That's what I was getting to, what I've been getting to, what. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but word, our seed, our office. Did I add anything to the message? Office. An office of God. That ain't no little room over there. That's the pastor's office. Yeah. Mine's been moved some months. A lot of times I forget where I'm supposed to go to. And then we had went back there one time. They was all fussing around here. That's why they added on that over there. It didn't bother me. I had enough room to where that it was really funny. I was in a little old bitty place packed up in the corner. And we had this lady. All of you know the story just about it. We had this lady came in. And she was telling him up here at the front and said, I want to talk to the pastor. Well, I heard her back there and I just stepped out. I said, solve the problem. In other words, send her on down. Tell my wife to come with her. I had a big office. I had an office with a chair that I could barely turn around. You know. And that lady got in that doorway. And there was no way for me and her both to go back out that door. You know, so I had to talk to her. You know, I had to tell her, because she was saying, we need to lift up Jesus. I said, if you'll hang around a little while, you'll find out we do. I said, just hang around. Go sit down for a little while. Need some money? We'll give you a little money. Go sit down. Oh, we need this. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. Do you need that? But you'll find out we lift up Jesus Christ, the one true and living God. Well, but I went through the Godhead in just a little bit, and first thing I know, she was out the door. Well, I didn't argue and fuss with her. I just quoted the Bible to her. But you see, she was in my office. But mine was getting crowded with her in there and Peggy standing in the doorway. But it worked out. It always will. I ain't afraid of something like that. It'll always work out. You just start talking about the Bible. And watch that demon just start backing off of you. Okay. Come on. But listen. Gifts are born gifts. God placing them in the church. Do you think about that as your fivefold ministry now? I'm talking to the church now. Which I've already explained. See, we're all fivefold ministry. We're in the body of Christ. I've got to have a pastor. I'm the pastor of the church, but I got to have a pastor. What have I got? I got all these fivefold ministers. I got these ministers. Who do you pay your tithe to? When somebody comes through from somewhere, I give them money. I do this, that. I give these brothers to minister. Because I've got to. Where would be a pastor that wouldn't honor the word enough to do what it says? But you want everybody else to. You can't send your money. I've had people here to tell me. One brother one time, he said, You care if I give my, give us tithe money to this brother? I said, give him everything he got. I said, no problem. Just give it to him. But I said, now if you're asking me what's right, now we're going to change the story, right?
Right.
If you ask me what's right, then you have no right to send it nowhere else. The everything is supposed to be operating from that one single pastor.
Right.
Yeah, but what about the other four? The other four has to answer to that pastor.
Right. Right.
And the other four should be called in. See, I call in people. I see something and all. We have a wonderful ministry here. We have a great situation. We've got four ministers besides myself. That works out good. You know, we can just schedule the different weeks and things like that. But I also think, and sometimes, and I think, we need, you know, we used to bring in until all this virus got hooked up. But, I used to bring in ministers. Well, I'd get to thinking about so-and-so. I'd just call him up and say, come down and preach for us. Because I believe in the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
I believe that's where I get mine from the prophet's message by way of the fivefold ministry.
That's right. That's right.
Now, can every one of you ministers say amen to that?
Amen.
I get mine from the fivefold ministry that's got it from the prophet.
Yeah.
That way all's involved.
Right.
That's why he gave some a prophet, some apostles. See? So you'll see sometimes, you watch these brothers minister, you know, and you watch especially brother, say we'll use Brother Aaron, he don't mind, he don't get mad at me, but you see him, he'll be up preaching, and he'll be just going away, and about that time he hits that rabbit trail, and he just runs away over here, and he'll get off over here, and he gets to running this way, and don't worry about it, he'll come back, you know, right a while you'll see him line back up. Well, see, something was going on. I don't take it to be him chasing rabbits. I take it to be that God is leading him to go over here and then to move back and bring it this way. You watch these ministers. One message, they'll be on fire. They're really on fire. Next minute, they're slow and gradual. Well, if you'd listen to them and let them, they'd tell you in a hurry, just like I would, do you think, man, oh, man, that was the worst sermon that I've ever preached. You know. I mean, you're just down and out. You go outside and I enjoyed that message, Brother Dale. I've been studying on this right here. And you think, well, that's what I told that sister that time when she was telling me some things, you know, what was doing and all. I said, you needed to preach tonight. Let me sit down. Because she'd done a better job explaining it in 5 minutes than I did in an hour and a half. I believe in gifts working. I believe in gifts working through the body of Christ. The women, the men, the children. I believe in that. And that's not building one above the other. But aren't you see what I'm talking about? Maybe one time Aaron is up here, he's fall ball. He's an evangelist. The next service, he might be slow. You look at him and you follow him. Well, he's doing a good teaching job tonight. We said, didn't change his office. You hear Brother Branham, right? He'll be preaching away in one message. And he'll be just on fire. In the next message, you'll hear it just real slow. He's gradually going and, you know. Well, which one are you going to say is most led of God? Most of the time, the one that everybody thinks he ain't led is the one that's being led.
Right. Right.
See? So you just do the best you can.
Yeah.
See? Fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles. It's not all made for the pastor just to be the only preacher.
Right. That's right.
It's not made for that. So now listen to what I'm saying for a minute, and you'll get it right, and you'll see I'm trying to honor everybody. When I'm sitting back there in that pew looking up here, ever who's doing that preaching is my pastor.
That's right. Amen.
How many of you give me that honor? Well, see, you're my pastor while I'm sitting there feeding on the Word. What? Because that's the fivefold ministry. It's not all made for one. It's made to operate as a body of Christ. Read the Corinthians and the arms, the legs, and these are supposed to move. Everything's not a hand. Everything's not an eye. Everything's not an ear. Read those things. You might get a good understanding of what's going on. Because I've got to have a fivefold ministry. I've called in people when others around me say, what'd you get that for? Well, I wanted to. You know, it's felt like it. It's always been wonderful. I can say this with not bragging or whatever. I've called in people here to preach at this church that I knew there was doctrinal issues that I didn't agree with them. But I knew they would help you. And I had one time that I know of. I've had one time that I had to come back behind the man after he left and correct what he taught to this church. Now that's an honor. Maybe they honor the old boy enough to say, let's stay away from that. You know, he'll straighten it out when I leave. But you see what I'm talking about? See, when Brother Aaron is preaching, he's our pastor for the night. Amen. You thought I was going it all on the pastor, didn't you? I'm putting it where I believe the Word puts it. So we need something. Brother Bob's going to preach this afternoon. I'm going to come here and sit down and say, God, feed my soul. This is a member of the fivefold ministry that is to talk to me. I may be the pastor. That's all right. But he's whatever is needed this afternoon. He is to bring that to the congregation. And that puts the whole fivefold ministry to work. You don't listen to tapes enough if you don't understand what I'm talking about, because you know Brother Branham a lot of times, he'll just be on fire. But then in the next message, he just... I've always said this, but it's the hear ye him messages. Now we know what that's supposed to mean in connecting hear ye him. But get your titles and look at all of them and get the tapes and listen. He ain't always preaching on adoption. He's titling it, Hear Ye Him. You think, oh, that's an adoption. Let me get that, and that's adoption. No, he ain't always doing that. He's just saying, Hear God. Amen. Which is an adoption message, right? Well, glory, but still he's just not trying to bring down this over here and this over here. And you listen to him sometimes, and you think, well, I've heard him explain that over here, one time over here, a whole lot better than that. Well, you don't know who's there. And who's listening or what's changing it. Because it'll change it. You watch it up here sometime. That's why I walk back and forth. I go this way, Wade goes that way, see. Bob, he's getting a mid-shuffle. Now, Aaron, he hangs in the middle. Really because he's so big, he can't move around. He has to stay with his feet anchored. But you see, I move. But you know why I move sometimes? These preachers can understand it, but these laity don't agree with it, but because you don't know. You start out in a service and you see a preacher and he's preaching away and he's doing pretty good. He's right in the middle, you know, and he's doing pretty good. And after a while you see him and he starts moving over and he'll try to move back. He'll try to go this way. And it just don't work. He's got that notch over here, and he comes back over here, and he's preaching. You know what happened? The pull has come to that one side. Maybe one person. Maybe one person is pulling. And that gift is trying to answer that question. Talk to that soul of that individual through that gift. which is an office. That's just trying to explain gifts and ministries and things. You can't do it because we're odd people. But get to the point of what I'm talking about. You, if you have a need, you just pray. Right? And you just keep praying about that need. And about that time, Brother Luis will call and say, Sam, I'm not going to be able to preach this weekend. I'm scheduled, but they want me to come here to interpret. Well, we always honor that. It's okay. Go ahead, you know. Well, you know, that might be the will of the Lord for Brother Bob to preach that night. You don't think like that? That God went through all these other things to get that one minister here? See, it's an office. A gift. A word. A position. Because that's what an office is. It's a position. It's something set aside. You're in that position. Nobody's in that position. It's not a room sitting over there somewhere. It's called an office. That's just examples. It's a person that's in that office. You see, that's where it doesn't bother. It never has bothered me who I preach in front of. Yeah, but Brother Dale, when Brother Moat was here, I believe it. I give honor to where honor is due. To me, Brother Moat was the greatest teacher in this message outside of Brother Branham for this age and time. I ain't talking about down in this and that. Brother Moat was a teacher in the body of Christ. Right? I believe that. And I believe by me honoring that, God honored me. And he pulled me into positions and things by that. Right? I believe that. All right, some of you, just to show you the difference, Brother Moat, he had his way, and we were over at a certain place, and this brother got up, and he said, we're glad to have Brother Moat with us here tonight. Said he's going to come. Said, you know how he is? Said he's deep in that word. Said he teaches, and he does, and this, that, and the other. And he said, now tomorrow night we're going to have... See, what was coming tomorrow night was a man that was really built up, high moving, grip going, you know, and jumping and shouting. He said, we'll shout all over this place. He said, we'll shout up and down these aisles and we'll run the aisles. And then he just realized that he'd opened it up the wrong way on that side, and he was degrading Brother Moat, see? So this is the way he said it. He said, Brother Moat's telling us about the word, and said, tomorrow night we'll know what to shout about. He got it back together. But listen, church, a fivefold ministry, an office, think of that. Now let me illustrate it, all right? Then we have Bob, Terrence, Wade. Who's that? How many deacons we got? Three? We got three deacons. All right, that's an office. See, that's an office. They're set aside for a certain thing. All right? But that doesn't make it to where they can preach it, but it makes them, as the Bible said, apt to teach. They can do things. They can come in too and teach and do this and that and the other through the deacon part. Because that's the Bible. See? But that's an office. All right? Now, Sister Esther plays the piano. In the nine spiritual gifts line, that's an office. But it's not an office to take her all the way up to where she can come out and preach. That'd be getting out of her office. She has her office. She has her doing. You have your doing. Sister Lisa, she handles the secretary treasurer part. That's an office in the nine spiritual gifts. But it didn't put her into the preaching ministry. See? But yet it can be an office. But it's an office and a, what would you call it? Just a form to be used, because the prophet was explaining. He said he can take that and use that gift one time and never use it again. But he doesn't say that about the fivefold ministry. That's the point I'm trying to get. Each one gets greater and greater in the office use and more settled in what is happening in that office. All right, you got a deacon. He can teach in the capacity of that part. He can do that part because that's part of it. But that don't make him a preacher. But yet God can use him because he's a deacon. He's set aside for that part and can be used. All right. But the next part is another office, higher form, see, to come into the fivefold ministry. And come on, church, I don't mind saying it. I know you don't like for me to make these statements, but there's a lot of pastors in this church, in this message end time, that I wouldn't drive 2 miles to get them here and preach because I don't agree with them. All right. And then sometimes I wonder how you could listen to them. Because I'm wondering, don't you hear what I hear? But I've told people, so-and-so said, I never heard him say that. Well, you must have went to sleep. Because that's just exactly what he said there the other night. I told one sister one time, I said, you shouted all over. I thought I was helping her doing because I was her pastor. And I said, you shouted all over the place there tonight, and that brother was preaching. And I said, his biggest portion of his message was error. I mean, even bad, error. Well, she solved the problem. I wasn't her pastor no more. She didn't come back no more. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. See, you gather to whatever is feeding, you're feeding on. That's where I'll give you a fivefold ministry. But what if you don't have but a pastor? Well, he can do fulfill. No, now don't do that. Don't run off and say he can fulfill all of them. No, Brother Branham could. I can't. Brother Branham could fulfill all the fivefold offices. I can't. And one minister by himself, you can't either. That's as blunt as I can put it. But see, you can move over into a gift part of it and things can work. I can go out and minister to somewhere and go to a church and not preach I'm not out there. Well, if you don't like it around here, you ought to find you another pastor. My number is so-and-so, so-and-so. Okay, so. No. You say that's silly. It is. But it's getting the point across at one thing. We've got to have the fivefold ministry. See, you thought I was tucking it the other way in parts to try to explain it. There's no way to explain God and his works, what he's doing. He uses what he uses. You must look at that and honor it. I wish you would go. Now, I'm just serious as I can be about it because I've been just a few little places. But I wish you'd go to some of these foreign countries. And look how much that pastor is honored. Look how that minister is honored in that congregation. Well, we're not talking about that. I tried to make that plain to start with. We ain't talking about garbage can fivefold ministries. We're talking about what's supposed to be the real call of God. But I'll give you the quote where the prophet said, as you honor your pastor, so God honors you. Well, Brother Dale, you want me to pat you on the back? No, but it does feel pretty good. I do like to hear that once in a while. And brother, I enjoyed that message. I didn't get but one word. Well, that's no problem. But you understand what I'm talking about. Put the word office in there with a fivefold ministry, because that's what your prophet. I've got a bunch more here, not enough time to cover. But covering it, the gifts, and how the gifts are working in the local assembly. Brother Brown said a pastor would have to answer if the gifts was not working in that assembly. Well, I'll have to answer. That's why you've never seen me set nobody down. I had one incident, this brother, he said, I can speak in tongues anytime I want to. I said, not according to the Bible. The Bible says, as the Spirit giveth utterance. I said, besides, you're just speaking in tongues. I mean, just speaking in Spanish. And he got upset and left. Well, it must have been right. But he was just speaking in Spanish, and everybody was thinking he was speaking in tongues. And I don't know one word except see. But I had enough sense to know what he was doing. See, church, I'm trying my best to get you to see the part that you need to honor and what you need to not honor. Right. We honor God's word and the truth that he brings to us through the fivefold ministry that was brought to us by a prophet of God. We're not looking for another prophet to come to be able to do that. We are not looking for the fivefold ministry to raise up and take the place of the prophet because it will never work. But we are. What are you looking for? I'm looking for the body of Jesus Christ to rise up. I believe in the body of Jesus Christ as being God himself operating in the church. That gives honor to everybody, men, women, children, everything. Because it is the body. Paul spends his time in Corinthians. Read that. I was just telling somebody the other day about it. It's hard sometimes for me to read Corinthians, especially in the early parts of the First Corinthians, because he seems like he's just telling stories. He just seems like he's telling this or he's just telling that. And you got to get on over into the book before you realize, hey, he was telling stories. He's telling stories about me. Right. He was telling what I need to be. Right. Right. And operational. But you understand, do I need to read any more about offices? Or do you want to just, you go home and type in office and put in ministry. So it'll cut it down. You go to the office, you're going to have a sling. And just put ministry. Brother Brown says there's five ministerial gifts. There is not one pastor and the rest. Nothing, no. It's all the same. Yeah, but the pastors are not the deeper ones. I can quote. I know what Brother Brown said about an adoption where your pastors want to do this, that, and the other, but said that teacher, he sets you in order. But I also remember some more where he said your pastor is ordained to lead you through. I know how to quote the rest of that. He said, if he's ordained. He put it in the correct order. Your pastor is ordained to carry you through if he's an ordained pastor. If he's not, he ain't going to carry you nowhere. But the fivefold ministry is Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to end it the best way that I can say it. Honor the minister when they're preaching. Honor the ministers when they're preaching. Because you're honoring God. Pray for your ministers. Not just the pastor. Pray for the ministers of this church. But pray for the offices and the things. Pray that God will lead us all. And that way there won't be no big I and little you. See? I count it an honor to be able to be associated with the end time message. But there's a lot goes with that that we would not honor totally. But that's not the message. Something that the Holy Ghost won't honor is not the message. I don't care who brings it, me, you, or who it is. See, there's not but just one message.
Right.
And there's one messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just the offices he uses to minister through. But you know, we are talking to his wife. But now, when I sat down, seeing a minister up preach, I become feminist in the body of Christ. Because I am not a pastor sitting there. Ever who's bringing the word is the pastor. You honor it that way and you'll see God will honor you. Come on, musicians. You can read, but if people don't listen, they're not going to pay no attention to you anyway. Offices. It's while they're getting ready. But there is five predestinated offices of the church. We would see Jesus in 1962. But there is five predestinated offices. Now listen. Of the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's what God set in the church. What? The Holy Spirit. That's the office. Is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Nine different spiritual gifts. All right? In every local assembly, nine different spiritual gifts. Then God has set, has gifts, that he has foreknown for each age, and has placed them into the church. We find that there's five of those gifts. First missionary, first missionary. All right. First is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Those five God-given gifts is in the church. So each of you people, now listen. So each of you people who have a godly pastor has a gift from God in your church. A shepherd, pastor means shepherd. What greater honor could it be? See, there's those other gifts that comes into the church, all right? And after the pastor. Now, after the pastor. Then there's evangelistics come in. Then there's teachers come in. And then there's prophets come in. And then there's apostles come in. All these together, working together with the gifts, keep the church perfected and clean and ready for the coming of the Lord. See? If you'd like to read these, I'll be glad to give them to you. They're all in my desk thing in there anyway. If you want them. To just see a gift. I count the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be the most important gift that could ever be received by any individual. The new birth. I hold that. I believe that. I believe as long as we'll let that operate. Yeah, we're not promised to everything to go away and not be, you know, and not have troubles. We're going to have that. All right. But church, listen, while we're in the, I don't know what we're in right now. I don't know because it's not to me maybe to understand. But there's a kind of like a lull in the religious realm things now that people are just, it's, things are not beating and banging like they do sometimes. But see, one of these days they're going to come after us. It may be 5 years, 10 years, maybe 50 years. Who's worried? I ain't care. I won't be here. But you'll just remember that I told you. The one thing that I've always wanted a church to be is ready. Just be ready for everything to take place. Standing in order. I remember in the Baptist church there, they used to preach that about the armor. You remember, you know the story, what it is in Corinthians, in the words, you got the armor of God and you put it on. I heard that preached so many times, I got where I didn't want to read it. Because all I could do was breastplate for this and this for that and iron for this and this. I didn't see a thing in the world that it was talking about to help me in the body of Christ. But then, like I said, one day I read a little further. And I began to see. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is that shining armor that you're clothed in. Let's stand. Go ahead. What we got? Remember Brother Bob be ministering this evening?
The blessings are
rolling tonight.
For there's joy, joy, joy in my home. For Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
And I'm feasting today on the manna. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Blessings are falling tonight. For there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight, for there's joy, joy, joy in my heart.
Let your love and manifestation be right. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I gave him my old tattered garments.
I come to you.
He gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm feasting today on the manna. And that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The
confession is not negative. It's positive
tonight.
To the point that she knows who the healer is, who the deliverer. She knows who brought her this far. And Father, she knows who will take her home. So you just restore all of these things. All of these bones and knitting together and everything. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
On the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. For there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right.
Because we believe it. By your stripes, what our sister is asking for is a finished product. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
And I'm feasting today on the manna.
Don't forget now, 12:40 for the children and the practice and the singing, all right? You're dismissed.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are for